You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. Chiefs handle the Ravens 34-20. Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. Baseball playoffs begin today and tonight. Four games. Clippers have fired Doc Rivers. Welcome to the program. A lot to talk about. The great comedian Keegan-Michael Key will join us coming up. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated will try to explain why the Clippers fired Doc and would they make a run at Phil Jackson. That'll be coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partner, and of course our radio affiliates, the Fox Sports Radio lineup. Number 362 affiliates around the world there. McLovin, poll question from the first hour.
Okay, hour one was, are you jumping off the Ravens bandwagon? 58% say no.
I think it's a little too early to be jumping off their bandwagon. Now, if you're jumping off their bandwagon because you want to get on the Chiefs bandwagon, I certainly understand that. I don't think that's an overreaction. I think Kansas City showed last night they're just as good, if not better, than last year's team that won the Super Bowl. And when you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that's just a difference maker. That is a huge upgrade at the running back position. And he runs tough, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. If you're going to blitz Patrick Mahomes, you better get him. Because if you don't, he's going to torch you. And a good defense like the Ravens got torched. If you're going to blitz him 20 times, he went 17 of 20 with three touchdowns last night when you blitz him. Also, you know, the one thing I was really curious about with the Ravens last year, they would always jump out on top. And I had Ethan, of course, who does the stats on the Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, Ethan.
And I wondered, how many times did the Ravens get the lead first, and what did they do in those games? Now, Lamar Jackson, in the games that he started, the Ravens are 16-2 when scoring first. Last year, in 12 games that they scored first, they won 11 of those games. They're a front-running team. They got caught. If you're not scoring touchdowns against the Chiefs, then you're going to lose. And they went down, kicked a field goal, and then all of a sudden the Chiefs started scoring touchdowns. And they don't have an offense that's a quick strike offense the way Kansas City does. Although nobody has an offense that's like that. But the Ravens we're going to run downhill, we're going to get a lead, and we're going to continue to pile it on. And Kansas City last night, although, you know, Baltimore made it interesting, I just didn't think it was as close as the final score would indicate. And if you had the over last night, sorry about that, because it was 54.5 was the number from Vegas at kickoff. And, of course, they ended up with 54 points. How do they do that? Like, how do they get it that close? Because you're factoring in things that happen that, you know, the Ravens aren't going to be great offensively. You're going to get a missed extra point by the Chiefs. The Ravens are going to be at the goal line and lose 20 yards and then go forward on fourth down and then get no points whatsoever. Because when I used to gamble, I didn't usually do an over and under. I usually just did the point spread. But the over-under is where you're going with every possession. If you're on the under, you know, you're hoping that they kick field goals or it's a three and out. But when you have the over, all you want is points. You don't care where it's coming from, special teams, doesn't matter. You want points. And if you would have said, hey, over-under, it's 54.5, the only thing I would have said is, why'd they throw that half in there? Like, those halves are the ones that always crushed me. Be like, you got to give 3.5. Can I give 3? Hey, 54.5. Can I get it at 54? Yes, Paulie.
And the score was 34-20 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You're like, okay, someone's going to grab a field goal here. The Ravens are going to grab a field goal.
Yeah. God, that's painful. It's painful. And that's Monday night. Usually what happens is, you know, you put some money down on some college football games. Although I always found college football, there were always a couple of teams that Vegas sort of forgot about. And you could put a nickel down on it and feel pretty confident that you would cover. And then you get to the NFL, and all I try to do is single out one or two games that I thought that I could make some money on. And then if you didn't, and then you loaded up on Monday night. And I'd always take Monday night home dog All the time.
Good strategy.
Yes, Monday night home dog all the time. But if I just lost the over last night, and now I got to wait a couple of days, and I got the Broncos and the Jets, how do you bet on that game?
Actually, how do you not bet on that game and watch it?
Well, you're right. You're right about that. But how do you go, yeah, I know this is going to happen. Like the Jets are probably a couple points favored. I'm guessing.
Nope.
They're not? I thought they'd be like a two-point favorite.
I'm seeing three-point dogs.
Oh.
And New York.
Three-point home dog Jets. If I was going to bet, I would take the Jets in the three.
But I wonder if, is that going to change when the Broncos announce their starter?
Well, that leads me to this. The Broncos have a really sad situation here. So they've lost Drew Locke. Now, he's got a shoulder injury. So the head coach, Vic Fangio, said that he's going to either start Jeff Driskel, Brett Rypien, against the Jets on Thursday night. They signed Blake Bortles to a one-year deal. That was less than a week ago. But they said that there's no chance that he's going to be playing. He's only put in a couple of practices here. But Driskel started in the loss against the Buccaneers. Rypien came in. That's Mark Rypien's son, who won a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. Rypien, 8 of 9 and an interception in relief. The matchup is Sam Darnold versus Driskel, Jeff Driskel, or Brett Rypien.
Can you sell that one, Dan?
Coming up Thursday night, the Broncos with Jeff Driskel meet the Jets and Sam Darnold. Somebody's got to win this godforsaken game. Thursday night on the NFL Network. That's when you're the promo guy and they say, hey, you got to really spice this up a little bit here. Like, that's when you go, I can't. That, can I just do it in my, I'm disgusted with this matchup?
Just throw Elway in there. Why not?
Yeah.
John Elway's Broncos.
The Bronco president, John Elway. Unfortunately, he's not playing.
Just 4 years removed from my Super Bowl title.
Against Joe Namath's Jets. Also not playing. Thursday Night Football. Next. Yes, Paulie.
I saw the promo for Sunday Night Football. Eagles 49ers next week is like, getting back off the mat. And they had a whole bunch of promos of Carson Wentz getting hit and crushed and throwing picks. And they show him getting up like the tough get up and get back in the game. And then they showed a bunch of 49ers like Mostert and Garoppolo who are hurt. Like, get off the deck. It's Sunday night.
Okay, but what do you do, the Falcons against the Packers at Lambeau next Monday night on ESPN? How can they blow another double-digit lead in the fourth quarter? Falcons. Packers, Monday night. Oh, Todd, I'm sorry. That's your job.
They got to say something. Is there any lead safe for the, in Lambeau? They got to hype that up.
Oh, you got the Falcons against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That'll be Monday night. What is the best matchup coming up this weekend? McLevin?
It's KC, New England. I think it's 4 o'clock.
In New England?
No, it's in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll be great.
But maybe KC short week. Did you ever look at that when you were betting, like Monday to Sunday?
Yeah. Usually if the team was on the road, if it's a short week and they went on the road. God, this is bringing back. I'm starting to get, sweats here thinking about betting. That was a bad beat last night, though. 54. I'm sure people who lost, I'm sorry. I've been there, and I know we all have losses, except for Floyd Mayweather. He's the only one that never had a loss, apparently, but... All right, so we got a lot of topics to dive into. The actor-comedian Keegan-Michael Key will join us coming up. There's so many skits. When they did the all-name team, and they had the East-West Bowl with Key and Peele. And how this came up, I did not know that Jordan Peele came in one day, and this was like on Monday, and he said, there is a guy named DeBrickashaw Ferguson in the NFL. And he was, I think he was playing Madden or maybe watched a game. So, Key says, yeah. And then they started making up names, and it was based off the Jets lineman, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. And that's how they came up with East-West. Yes, Todd.
I remember when he was in studio, he goes, my man's name is DeBrickashaw. We got to do something with that.
Oh, anybody else on the Ravens bandwagon with me here today? Did I lose everybody? Yes, McLovin.
I would say to the guys, are we Leonard Fournette-ing this entire NFL season? Like, I feel like people are overreacting more than ever to one game.
Well, I don't think people are factoring in that we've had a pandemic. Players didn't get to work out. And this is basically your preseason. But it's national TV, so we're going to overreact on Thursday night to the Jets and Broncos. Because normally, nobody's watching that game. Thursday night, we're going to have a referendum on both of these teams. Like, oh, Broncos, man. They're going to end up with 3 wins. Jets are worse than I thought they were. So, yeah, that's what happens when it's a standalone game. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, like the Saints-Packers. Now the Packers are the NFC favorite everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you read power rankings ever?
No.
Yeah, the Packers are 1 and 2 in like most people. It's Chiefs-Packers are most power rankings.
Yeah. I don't factor that in. Give me about, 6 or 7 games. Then I think you can tell. It's just like college football. I don't know how good some of these schools are. If you haven't played or you played one game, I don't know how good you are. And you have a short window to prove how good you are. Are schools more likely to run up the score during the pandemic? Because if you're only playing 6 regular season games and you want to get some eyes on you if you're playing in the Big Ten, I got to believe Ohio State and Wisconsin or whoever can run up a score is going to try to put up some big numbers every single week. Yes, Todd.
Do you fly Trevor Lawrence in for the big Bronco Jet game? Put him up in a suite. He's got plenty of time to get back to class and get back to Clemson. Maybe, he does the opening coin toss. One of these teams could be very interested in that guy.
At what point do you start watching games differently if you're Trevor Lawrence? Where you get to week like 15 or 16, and then you realize, I'm probably going to be with that team and those guys next year. Because if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm probably not watching much NFL right now. I just watch game film. I just prepare for, my ACC schedule here. I don't want to get caught up in, oh my God, the Jets are so bad. And I reached out to a source last night, and because I was watching Patrick Mahomes play so well, and I reached out to a source who has a connection to Sam Darnold. I said, I feel terrible for Sam. I really do. I like Sam Darnold. And I think he has the potential to be a franchise quarterback. You go to the line of scrimmage, he probably thinks, I got to really make something happen all the time. And that'll get you into bad habits here. And my source said, Sam is going to have to prove how good he is when he goes to another franchise. Yeah, Paul.
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if Sam Darnold is going to get a hall pass from the America and the NFL experts because it's the Jets, and no one can overcome that franchise, almost. Like, where he gets a little bit of wiggle room, like, well, it's not him, it's them.
Yeah, but you're throwing pick sixes. It always feels like the pick six is on you. Now, it's not always the case. A receiver can run a wrong route. I also brought up Seattle's defense. Seattle's defense has allowed 1,292 net passing yards, but only 6 touchdown passes. Russell Wilson has thrown for 925 passing yards, but has 14 touchdowns so far. So they've given up a lot of yards. I think that's, historical. I don't think a defense has ever given up 1,200 passing yards. Can we check, McLovin, with Ethan? I don't think a team has ever given up 1,200 passing yards through the first 3 games of the season. And they're undefeated. Pretty incredible. Because Seattle could have lost Dallas and could have lost New England. And look at the Titans. Titans are undefeated, and I think their margin of victory is a total of 6 points. Yes, McLovin.
And let's not forget the Bears. That is as weak and undefeated as you're going to see.
Yeah.
Oh, of those 3 undefeated teams, the Bears should be.
Well, I know that they're not better than the Titans or Seattle. They could be 0-3. I get that. But nobody cares about the Bears. Like, bigger picture, the Titans are going to be in the playoffs and Seattle will be in the playoffs. We're not going to look back and go, hey, boy, the Bears are a wobbly 10-6 team here.
I had trouble watching that Colts-Vikings game. When of all the games that were on, for some reason, that was my first turn.
You mean Titans?
The Titans Vikings.
Titans Vikings.
Yeah. I'm having trouble with the whole AFC South right now.
But you always do. You rail against the AFC South all the time.
But they always have 1 o'clock games. I think the schedule sort of fits that, and they get the bad Thursday night games.
Well, I am curious about the Colts, and I am curious about the Titans. You know, that you have a new quarterback there with the Colts. We're talking about Drew Brees' arm strength. Phillip Rivers has never had arm strength, and he's still thrown for 60,000 yards here. I just think watching the Saints from now on out, even with Michael Thomas, you know, I was talking to a source last night and said, look, Michael Thomas is a short yardage guy. You know, he's unstoppable, you know, in that 15, you know, 5, 10, 15 yards. He doesn't go deep. They don't have a deep threat here. You know, Emmanuel Sanders is your deep threat. So even if Drew Brees wanted to throw deep, it's not like he has deep receivers, deep threat receivers. And this is going to be an issue that you're going to have defenses that are going to keep creeping up on the Saints, creeping up. And Alvin Kamara is the one guy who is, you know, a game changer. But you almost have to use him out of the backfield as that deep threat. But that's basically, I'm going to get the ball to you. Now take it 50 yards. But the Saints are going to have this issue the entire season because Drew's arm is nowhere near what it once was. That's just that's the fact. And he may not like hearing that, but they're going to nickel and dime you. But that defense has got to be a whole lot better than it was against Green Bay. Yeah, McLovin.
Why not just put Taysom Hill in then?
Because Taysom Hill is not the answer.
Or a quarterback, apparently.
Okay, here you go. I will bet you a pie to the face, Jameis Winston starts a game at quarterback before Taysom Hill. Yes, Paul.
So whenever Drew Brees is replaced by choice or by injury, the choice is Jameis Winston, not Taysom Hill.
Yes. Anybody want to wager a pie to the face? No, no. Seton, no. How about you, Todd? You big gambler.
Well, I was thinking more about if we could do something with the Bronco Jet game to spice things up Thursday night. What do you like that? I'll let you set some odds that we can discuss.
So you'll give me 3.5 points and I got the Jets.
My instinct is that the Jets are going to win by 6, but because I'm a Bronco fan, so that I could root for them and avoid a pie to the face, I should probably do something on Denver's side.
Yes, Eden.
I think it's more like we should do a contest and the loser of the contest has to watch that game.
I'm out.
And replay.
And you must take notes. You must write down every play in the game. Like 3rd and 9, incompletion.
It's brutal.
Punt. You have to log the game like you're a PA at ESPN. All right, we'll take a break. He is the great actor, comedian. He's Keegan-Michael Key. He'll join us coming up. Chris Mannix in an hour from now about what happened with the Clippers and where do they go from here. Coming up on 20 after the hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Just saw this report from the NFL Network. The Tennessee Titans have 3 new players who've tested positive, 5 personnel people who tested positive for COVID-19. And the Titans and Vikings, they played each other. So now I guess you got to start testing or tracing who else you come in contact with. We'll keep an eye on that story there. All right, this program brought to you by, it's an award nominated. We don't win awards, but we get nominated for them. It's brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way, the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life's a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any of our interviews this week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. He is Keegan-Michael Key. He's actor, comedian, writer, producer. And he is Emmy-winning actor who is narrating Drafted. It's a new docuseries podcast in association with iHeartRadio, Treefort Media, and Clutch Sports Group. What it does, it follows top college football players as they prepare to enter the NFL Draft. First 2 episodes launched just last Monday. 2 new episodes releasing each week. He is the Well, he's a Lions fan, too. And the Lions picked up a victory on Sunday. Do you want the Lions to do well? Or, like, they win when they're not supposed to win here, Key.
Right. No, I do want them to do well. I've wanted them to do well since I was 8 years old. But, yeah, they were not supposed to win that game, which I'm jubilant about. But the thing is that every season recently, the thing that you can hope the most for is that they play spoiler to somebody going into the playoffs. That's about as much as we've been able to. That's where we've been finding our happiness. So I do want them to win. I would love it if we were in a position to not have the third pick. I'm very excited about our pick this year, about Jeff Okuda, his first interception this last weekend, which was very exciting.
Break it down.
What's that?
Break it down here.
You know. Very early. Right.
I love that. But, you know, when you start to – the Lions are one of the great untold stories. They're, you know, the Cubs ended up winning. Like, you have these franchises that have won. The Lions might be that last great story in the NFL.
I think they are. I think they definitely are. Part of me says I'm going to be impatient. Like, I'm going to be childlike and be impatient and say, oh, I want the winning to happen immediately. But God, Dan, would I be able to save it? What if I was 82? You know what I mean? You know when you see those stories, those news stories, there's the old guy with the walker and the tears streaming down his face. Like, I never thought the Cleveland Browns. Well, I shouldn't mention the Cleveland Browns. But I never thought, we don't want to talk about something that's completely impossible. But some, wow. You know, I would love to be, I know, isn't that mean? They're not even in the NFC. Leave them alone, Keegan. But it would be great if I could just be that old man in the chair, you know, with like my old ball cap that's too big for my head, going, "We did it! We did," you know, surrounded by my grandchildren, that whole situation.
I was just telling the guys, recreating that story that you told when you go in that Monday and Peel was either playing Madden or watching football or just somehow heard DeBrickashaw Ferguson's name, and how it was such a light bulb there. Like, you know, I remember DeBrickashaw Ferguson at like Virginia. Like, I'm so accustomed to those names, but here's, you know, Jordan Peele, who's not a sports fan, and he's going, wait a minute. And then you're a sports fan, so you probably never looked at this and listened to this and went, oh, there's nothing. Wait, that's funny?
That's a football name. I'm like, what are we talking about here? I think I even said to Jordan, when he said, man, how is there a dude named DeBrickashaw Ferguson? And I said, wait a minute, first of all, I said, that's in the pros, Jordan. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg when you get to college. The names. And the funny thing is, to his credit and to his talent, he didn't even do any research when he wrote the rest of those names. He just made them up. The blueprint was DeBrickashaw Ferguson. I'm like, okay, guess if you're going to use a blueprint, that would be the one. Either that, you know, or Barkevious Mingo. I mean, all he needed was to hear those two names, and he was off to the races, man.
I got one for you. This guy plays at Kentucky. Paulie?
Yeah, running back Kavassier Smoke.
His last name is Smoke. Amazing.
Well, I'm okay with Smoke Kavassier.
Kavassier, as in that he must have come out of the womb a very sophisticated looking baby.
Kavassier.
For them to call him Kavassier. You know what I mean?
And he's got a brother, Hennessy.
Oh my! Of course.
No, he does. No, he doesn't. I was joking about that. But.
Oh, I believe you 100%. When I was a kid, the big thing was that there in my neighborhood, there were two kids named. I'm going to go the exact opposite direction on this. There were two kids named A and B Johnson. They were twins, and their names were A and B. And I'm like, you can't do that to a child. It's like,
I had some rough names that I grew up with, and that I can't even say them on the show.
Oh, jeez.
it's off color. And
gotcha.
Yes, but, you know, you grow up, and that's just the person's name. You don't even think twice about it. And then somebody goes, wait, you went to school with somebody named that?
Right, right, exactly, right. And I know you just kind of think to yourself, "Oh, that's just, you know, that's Giorgio or Giorgio." Not the craziest name. I went to high school. Now here's another one. I went to high school with a gentleman by the name of Ignacio Hallcorn. Great name. I thought that was a great name because it sounded like he should have been in an old Dickens novel. Ignacio Hallcorn.
But you just call him Iggy, or do you?
Iggy, yeah, Iggy. It's which is like one to me one of the best nicknames ever. You know. It's like also a good Detroit nickname because Iggy Pop's from Detroit.
Oh, that's right. And the,
I have to talk about at least 2 to 3 people who are from Detroit on every interview. And, yeah.
Did you get in everybody you needed to get in?
I think I got everybody in. Oh, I just have to say Barry Sanders. I just have to say it randomly every time.
He's Keegan-Michael Key, and he's got a new podcast here. So are you working with LeBron's people on this?
Yes. Clutch Sports? the Clutch Media people. Yeah, that's who they're one of the producers of Drafted, and so and they're also repped by my agency. So we were collaborating and working together on this thing.
Have you hung with LeBron before?
I haven't. I have not even had the pleasure of meeting him yet. So,
well, how did you get involved in narrating this? Where these are guys who are going to be drafted, or the process of being drafted?
The producers, they came to me and asked me if it was something I'd be interested in. And I think they had already known that I had an interest in college football and in pro football. And the draft to me is always, you know, I think April is always a great time to have the draft because it's right in the midst of all of your yearning and longing for the new football season to start. It's so early, but it's long enough away from the Super Bowl that you're going, come on, man, it's with all these other sports now, when is the football coming? And so they had been put together by my agents with me, and they knew that I liked it. And I said, I'm in, I'm 100% in, I'd love to do this. And it was such a unique situation because, you know, this year's draft took place during a very unprecedented time, and nobody was in the same room. Everybody was in their individual bubbles, but our producers sent microphones to all these players, and they got really honest, raw stories from these guys. And a lot of the time, the guys would walk around with their mics on. Sometimes they didn't know the mics were on. So you got really emotional moments with their family and their friends, and talking to coaches on the phone. It was great. It was great. It was really, we got lots of fantastic footage.
What else are you working on?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, in that mind of yours, you're probably got a million ideas here. But how do you get those ideas then down into paper and then kind of see a project through?
I always work with a writer and a fellow writer. I always have to. I'm a partner person. So I had Jordan for years, and now my wife is my writing partner, and she's brilliant. But what happens is I'll come up with a general idea, or what you do is, like, when you start getting into a creative process, you'll finish a creative process. The way that you start a new one is by what I just call opening up the antenna. So you have to open up the antenna to notice absolutely everything, and then certain things will spark for you. And then those are the things that you try to drop in. And I'm very much kind of a bigger idea person. And I'll start writing down ideas, writing down themes, and then whoever I'm writing with, we start to come together so that they can go, well, what about this line? What about that line? And they kind of help me hone down that bigger idea into a more specific idea. So that's what I did. I did that with Jordan, and do that with Elle, where I go, what about this? And then they go, and then what you do, Dan, is you just kind of start playing off of each other so that you just keep distilling down that bigger idea until it gets to what you want it to be. And that's been my process. That's been my process.
I brought up to the Danettes that I was watching a Key and Peele, and you were playing a doctor, and Peele was the gang leader, and you're explaining in doctor's terminology about his mom is sick and she's overweight, and then, you know, Jordan is firing back like you're dissing his mom, and right. It's like a rap battle going back and forth. And one of the great walk-off punchlines of all time that we can't say, but
right.
Was there ever did all the episodes get greenlit? Like, did you ever have an episode that somebody says, no, you can't do that one?
No, we actually, the Comedy Central was very liberal about that. They allowed us to do pretty much everything we wanted. The funny thing is, the biggest issues we ever had with them was early on in the process of the show. I would we so badly wanted to do Star Wars sketches. or like a Star Wars parody. And then one of the producers was like, no, Star Wars? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Star Wars is our mythology. Star Wars is never not popular. He's like, I don't know, is popular Star Wars right now? Should we do Star Wars? I'm like, there's only 6 Star Wars movies out right now. You're right. It's not in the zeitgeist. But that was the only thing they ever fought us on were these Star Wars scenes. But the thing is, we had scenes that we pitched to Comedy Central, Dan, where they were like, yeah, sounds good. Like, don't you think it's a little... No, that's, hey, go for it, man. If you guys want to be on the edge. Yeah, we were just, thought you were going to say no. Okay, so, and then you have to make it. Then you've got to make the sketch. So they never, ever pushed on subject matter. They were always like, go for it. Jordan, I remember he had some trepidation about, if you remember the slave auction sketch.
Yes.
He was like, I don't know. I just wanted to, because it was kind of an exercise. I wanted to see if I could do something that would make slavery funny, or I could find a way to do that. And then we pitched it and he got nervous. And then they greenlit it. They're like, go ahead and shoot it. And he was like, huh. But you know, it turned out to be one of our more memorable sketches at the end of the day.
Oh, didn't you have the kind of a rap battle between, was it Malcolm X and Martin Luther King? And
yes, you're
trying to get the crowd on your side here,
by
saying shocking things there. And you know, Martin Luther King's doing it his way, and then Malcolm X is doing it his way, and then...
Yeah, well. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm doing the worm on the ground trying to get the crowd. By the way, a little tidbit, first time I'd ever done the worm or attempted to do the worm. I just dropped to the ground. I was just trying to outdo Jordan. And then the director goes, cut. And I get up, I go, all right. First time I've ever done that in my life.
One and done.
Does anybody have some ice for my back? So what is that? Just,
are you working on movies?
Doing a TV show or like a limited series right now for Apple Plus. I'm in Vancouver right now, and it's a musical. This is actually, by the way, my third musical in the last year. I've done two other that I'm not allowed to talk about right now, but I did like a lot of kids who are actors or drama geeks. You grow up, you do musical theater in high school, and I did that for years, and I used to sing in a band. And somebody came to me and said, would you like to do this musical, a year and a half ago? And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. I haven't sung in a while. So that's kind of been a thing I've been doing recently, which has been a lot of fun.
How often do you sing? Like,
I sing a lot, actually.
But you were in a band? What kind of band were you in?
It was the early 90s, and it was like a cover. I was in a cover band. I used to perform at Grounds Coffee House on the campus of University of Detroit Mercy, my alma mater. And we would go to Grounds Coffee House and sing, you know, like Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I wore a t-shirt that I can't say what the words were on the t-shirt. But I, you know, Dan, that whole deal, like I wore a flannel shirt tied around my waist, but never actually wore the shirt, just wore it around. Remember in the night? Remember Eddie Vedder? Combat boots and the flannel shirt? But you don't wear the flannel shirt. You just have it there just in case. You know, rainy Seattle.
In case your wife or girlfriend needs, she's cold.
That shirt, right.
Right there.
And I was in two bands, but it was like Parliament Funkadelic, where both bands, same guys, two different names. So one band was called Free Love Lemonade, and the other band was called Tripmaster Monkey. Those were the names.
Of course,
of course. What else? 1992.
Of course. Did you ever meet, you know, George Clinton?
I never met him. I'm going to do it again. The first two or three albums that Funkadelic ever released were made in Detroit. They were recorded in Detroit. But I always wanted to meet him, and I never have. I've seen him in concert a few times, but I've never met him.
Yeah, little Atomic Dog, you know, you should be.
Oh, yeah, Atomic Dog. Yeah. George Clinton said, what did he say? He was on an interview one time, and someone said to him, do you believe that any kind of illicit drug like LSD influenced your career, your music? George Clinton said, hey man, I think I influenced LSD. Just a baller answer.
That is great. Isn't there a line in that song where he goes, chase the cat? Like it's just.
Why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? Ain't nothing but the dog in me. It's just like.
Great to talk to you, man. Have fun in Vancouver. Good luck with the podcast there, and great to connect with you again.
You too, Dan. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike. That's Keegan-Michael Key. The podcast, by the way, it's called Drafted, a new docuseries podcast in association with iHeartRadio, Treefort Media, Clutch Sports Group. Follows college players as they prepare to enter the NFL draft. The first two episodes launched on Monday. Two new episodes release each week. You know, I called him Key at the beginning because it's Keegan-Michael Key, and then I called him Michael at the very end.
Covered everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, man. There's some fun stuff. Oh, the NFL's got a statement here on the Titans testing positive. Let me see. I'll have that for you after the break. I got this information. Yeah, here's the NFL statement on Titans, Vikings facilities. Have that for you next. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Alrighty, got some games that are in jeopardy right now. Titans versus the Steelers, Vikings versus the Texans. Here's an NFL statement, because there was a report that some of the Titans, a league source said to Diana Russini that she works for the mothership, were shutting Tennessee down until Saturday. That means no Titans coaches or players can be in the building. This following a report from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, 3 player positives, 5 personnel positives for COVID-19, according to sources. This is for the Titans. So the Titans and the Vikings, they played. So they're going to suspend in-person activities starting today. We haven't heard anything about the Vikings testing positive. Here's the NFL statement on the Titans and the Vikings. On Tuesday morning, the Titans' COVID testing results returned 3 new player positives, 5 new personnel positives. The Titans will suspend in-person club activity starting today. Likewise, the Vikings, who played the Titans on Sunday, will also suspend in-person club activities. Both clubs are working closely with the NFL and the NFL Players Association, including our infectious disease experts, to evaluate close contacts, perform additional testing, and monitor developments. All decisions will be made with health and safety as our primary consideration. We will continue to share updates as more information becomes available. So, Titans are going to play the Steelers this weekend, but I don't know if you can't practice, and then the Vikings play the Texans. Those games are in jeopardy right now. But you have 3 players that tested positive. We haven't heard anything about the Vikings right now. And we're on the air for another hour and 10 minutes, so whatever we find out, we'll certainly pass along to you. I found this comment about... This is Jerry Jones. Did you see the comment he had about Dak Prescott? Now, this is from Clarence Hill Jr., who covers the Cowboys. Jerry Jones said, Dak Prescott not being able to pull off the last play of the game against Seattle is the difference between he and Patrick Mahomes or even Tony Romo. They could have pulled it off. So that is probably from his radio show, I'm guessing, that he does on Tuesday. But that's according to Clarence Hill, who covers the Cowboys. But that's a surprising comment from Jerry about Dak Prescott, that even Tony Romo could have pulled off that play, not just Patrick Mahomes. Let's see if we can get the audio from Jerry's. I think he does his weekly radio show now that the season is underway. But, wow. All right. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to the Titans situation, if the Titans couldn't practice this week and couldn't play and show up to play or against the Steelers this weekend, how many options does the NFL have for postponing this game? The Titans and the Steelers don't have the same bye week. So you can't kick that game down the road. or I don't know how you'd kick that game down the road.
And if you're the Steelers, do you ask for a win via forfeit? Because the Steelers have done everything right. The Titans have three players and, you know, five personnel people who have tested positive. At least that's all they know right now. You know, this is different than baseball, because baseball, they can make up some games. Not every team played the required 60 games, but you were having doubleheaders, you know, seven-inning doubleheaders. You don't match up with your bye week to be able to reschedule this. What do you do if you're the NFL? Do the Steelers get a victory here? Do the Titans get a loss? Check with Florio on that if you can, Todd. Just to see, you know, Peter King might have something on that. Like, I don't even know what is, you know, the worst case scenario. You know, that if you have players who tested positive, and, you know, how do you reschedule this game? Yeah, McLovin.
Didn't you say a long time ago that they planned some flexibility around the Super Bowl date?
They did, but would you add another week?
What if there were many games that were canceled?
Well, right now you have one. Or maybe you have two. And if you have two, then you might look at that. But if this is a standalone, the Titans and the Steelers, I don't think you add another week and push the Super Bowl back a week because of the Titans and the Steelers. Now, Vikings and the Texans. We haven't heard anything as far as the Vikings. Anybody testing positive? Because the Vikings played the Titans. Yes, McLovin.
Why don't you just call it a no game for both teams and do winning percentage?
How is that fair to the Steelers? Steelers are ready to play this weekend. They're not.
Well, that's how they, I mean, that's sort of how they did it with MLB. And
yeah, but NBA. I had a problem with how MLB did it.
MLB almost got all their games, and only two teams missed games.
Yeah, but, you know, they were doing it whatever they could just to get to the finish line here. And I don't think they were fair to a lot of teams that, you know, didn't have any issues, and then they have to do doubleheaders, and then they have to wait for this team. And then, you know, I would have had forfeits with the Cardinals, the Marlins, some of these teams that, you know, at times made a mess of this. But we'll keep an eye on this. One more hour to go. We'll talk to Chris Mannix. Clippers made a decision. Was it the right decision? And is there a chance Phil Jackson would want to coach the Clippers? Mannix has some thoughts on that as well. Final hour coming up on this Tuesday, Dan Patrick Show.